Welcome to the Mind Body Heather podcast, where we discuss all things mental health and self-care at home, at work, and in the wild. We break down complex mental health topics and make them easy for anyone to understand, and relentlessly advocate for the destigmatization of mental illness. No matter who you are, if you want to learn more about mental health and self-care, this podcast is for you. Please note that the information discussed in this podcast is not intended to be used as medical advice or treatment. If you're struggling with your mental health, please reach out to a qualified professional for help. If you feel you're in crisis, please text the crisis hotline at 741-741. Hello and welcome to the Mind Body Heather Show. I'm your host, Heather Ann Tanavica. As you can hear, I am now calling this the Mind Body Heather Show because we not only have an audio-only version on Spotify, but now I also have a YouTube channel. So it is a podcast first and foremost, but also now you can see my face. So it's a podcast turned audio-visual, which I know is great because that appeals to a lot of different learners. So you asked for the YouTube version and you're getting it. So this is the third YouTube episode. So if you're watching this on YouTube and you notice that this is actually episode 21, there are 20 episodes on Spotify. 19, 20, and 21 are now on YouTube. But there's a whole season one available on Spotify that has 18 episodes. So if you are into podcasting or if you can take an information audio only, definitely go to my Spotify channel, Mind Body Heather on Spotify, and you have 18 episodes, hours and hours worth of high quality, if I may say so myself, information about all different mental health topics. So today we're going to be talking about time management and time blindness. All about time for folks with ADHD. Even if you don't have ADHD, you might find that some of the information in this episode is beneficial for you. So if you're a person that generally struggles with time management, I'd say give this a listen too. But if you do have ADHD, if you're a parent of a child with ADHD, or know somebody who has ADHD and struggles with time management and time blindness, and I will explain what that is in just a moment, then definitely listen to this episode. So I'm going to try to give you a lot of good takeaway information, tips, tricks, things that can help you with your time management. So I don't believe I have any announcements today. I am recording this podcast on a Sunday night. I haven't done that in a while. Just came back from the driving range. So I'm a little stiff, I guess. I don't really know. But if you listen to anything in season one and the Mind Body Heather podcast, if you follow me on Instagram at mind.body.heather, you know that golf is something that I've recently taken up. So it's just something nice and fun to enjoy that's different than running, which is what I normally am very active in terms of my sport, very much running. Obviously, I do some indoor cycling with Peloton, not sponsored. That would be absolutely insane. So Peloton, if you want to sponsor me, you can give me a call. I'm not going to put my phone number on here, but like just send me a message. We can work it out. We could probably work something out. But you know, I do have a bike. I'm trying to get brave enough to clip in on my bike outside. I do have cleats, and I like to move fast. I tend to like high impact sports, even though cycling is not, but sports that really get your heart pumping. And so golf is a really nice reprieve from that. It's a very mental sport. So I talked about golf a little bit when I was recording the mental training and visualization for sports performance in season one. I think it was one of the last episodes of season one. So if you're interested in learning more about that, again, go to Spotify and check out, it's one of the last episodes in season one, and you can learn more about that. Anyways, today we're going to talk about time blindness and time management. Now, what is time blindness? So folks with ADHD experience time blindness. A lot of them do, most of them, I would say. So, and myself included, for sure, time blindness is a very odd feeling to experience time blindness. If you do experience that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. it's just, it's a, it is an odd feeling. And I try really hard not to be late. I really, really, really try very, very hard. There are some days where it just, it is so near impossible, depending on how symptomatic I am with my ADHD on a given day or week or month, even sometimes, to be on time. There's a reason for that. And I spent so much of my life just thinking that I was rude or not paying attention until I was diagnosed with ADHD at 29. If you haven't listened to anything prior to this video or this podcast episode, I was 29 when I was diagnosed with ADHD. I am 39 now, so it's been 10 years and 10 years of learning what parts of me and my functioning are even ADHD. So that's been pretty revelational. And also what to do about it so that I can be a functioning adult and successful at that. So time blindness, this is a common experience among individuals with ADHD. And this refers to a difficulty in perceiving and managing the passage of time, resulting in challenges for sure with being on time. So, but also affecting planning, prioritization, and just completing tasks in a timely manner, not even necessarily showing up for something on time. So what I do want to say is that time blindness doesn't necessarily mean that you have no awareness that time is happening or that you're not aware that 3 hours has passed by. That can happen, but it's more or less a difficulty in planning how long it's going to take you to do something. So, so there are some ways that time blindness can affect people with ADHD. So poor time perception. So we're talking about perception here. And I'm going to actually go into a study that was done on time perception and how that's a focal symptom of ADHD. We'll talk a little bit about the neuroscience of it and you know what part of our brains are affected in just a few minutes. So poor time perception. So individuals with ADHD may struggle with accurately gauging the passage of time. So we might underestimate or even overestimate how long a task will take. And this leads to difficulties in allocating time effectively. This can result in missed deadlines, late arrivals to things, and an overall sense of just time slipping away. So I think that the vast majority of us don't necessarily feel like we have enough time in our days to get things done, right? But for folks with time blindness and ADHD, it kind of constantly feels like time is getting away. The only time I ever really experience that not happening or not feeling as much so would be when I feel really restless and I am waiting for something to happen or I'm waiting for somebody. That's the only time I really don't feel like time is slipping away. It's almost kind of the opposite. There's just that like the clock is ticking very slowly. And that's the restlessness side of it. So otherwise, yeah, it tends to feel like time is just always getting away. And I know that anyone and everybody can probably relate to that to some extent. So this, of course, causes difficulty with time management. So due to time blindness, folks with ADHD have trouble organizing their schedules and allocating time for different tasks. So we struggle to prioritize activities. We tend to procrastinate, but I will say I'm actually not much of a procrastinator. What I will say, though, is task initiation, which is another executive dysfunction for folks with ADHD. I'm not really going to go too much into that here, but what I will say is just task initiation is a difficulty with folks with ADHD. In that sense, yes, there is some procrastination, but it's not necessarily purposeful procrastination. I'm not necessarily saying to myself, I'm going to stall and put this off. I don't really want to do it. I really want to do the task. Or even if I don't, I really do want to get it done if it's something I don't want to do. but it's hard for my brain to prioritize, you know, and just organize my thoughts enough, or organize the set of tasks or the set of the steps within the task, I should say, in order to get it done. So a good example of this is we have a big half finished basement, half unfinished, and in part of our unfinished basement we have a storage. And things get added to the storage area frequently. And it started off nice and organized in bins and separated by category, which I will say my husband was largely the reason for that, because he can, his brain can handle that in a much easier way than mine can. But as things have been added, they've just kind of been put places. And now the problem is there's so much stuff. At least that's what I see, is so much stuff that's uncategorized that I want to clean that up and organize it and categorize it and make it all nice and know what to get rid of and whatnot. But my brain sees that as a big jumbled mess, and I struggle to know where to start. Once I start, I'm typically in a good place, but it's that task initiation that's difficult. And I said I wasn't going to get into that, and then I did. So here we are. Poor sense of time urgency. So folks with ADHD have some difficulty sensing the urgency to complete tasks within a given time frame. And this obviously is due to the time blindness. So, we may or may not delay starting tasks until the last minute, or struggle to stay focused and motivated. And that's obviously another big area of dysfunction that makes, planning things time-wise very difficult. We really thrive on external reminders. I'll get into the tips in just a few, but we struggle without those external reminders sometimes and deadlines. I actually love a deadline because it gives me structure. It tells me when I need to get something done by. And when it's more arbitrary or vague, then I have to actually do that planning and managing the time a little bit more authentically, organically, I should say, myself, which is difficult. So, which obviously this can lead to a lot of stress, right? So we're thinking about if we don't start that task until the last minute, then we can be really stressed out about trying to get something done within a given time frame that's shorter than we had anticipated having, even though we kind of did it to ourselves, you know, or just rushing, right? Just rushing to try to get the work done, and then it's not your best work, and then there's stress from that. So some other things here, so challenging, I know I mentioned earlier about planning. So planning is another one of our executive functioning skills that is a dysfunction for folks with ADHD. So challenges with planning and pacing. So time blindness can make it really difficult for folks with ADHD to plan and pace ourselves effectively. So we may underestimate the time that's needed to complete a project. And this, like I mentioned before, results in more rushed or even incomplete work. Ooh, which scares me. And then on the alternative side, you could also overestimate your capacity, right? So overestimating your capacity to get something done, or the time it will take. And then this leads to something that I am very familiar with, which is taking on too many tasks at the same time. If you are listening to this or watching this and you just heard me say that and you know me, you are like nodding your head. You are nodding your head in agreement. If you know me, too many tasks at the same time. I tend to overestimate my capacity, my mental capacity, my time capacity. I love to say yes to things that I think are going to provide me with additional opportunities in the future. I will say I'm pretty good at saying no to a lot of the fluff in life. And probably should, maybe should say yes to a little bit more of that and maybe not consider it fluff, but hey, that's my own thing to deal with. So And then lastly, I'd say impaired time-related executive functions. So time-related executive functions, like I mentioned earlier, task initiation, sustaining focus, and being able to shift your attention and then shift your attention and be able to stay attentive to the thing you've shifted your attention to. These could be impaired for sure with folks with ADHD and often are. So, and these are all crucial to being able to manage your time. So time management is almost this big overarching element of our lives, right? We have to all manage our time appropriately to be successful and even to feel less stressed out and less pressure put on us, right? It's to be able to manage time is such a great skill. And that's because it has this trickle-down effect. It helps us with all of these other things. It helps us to be able to plan things. It helps us to be able to focus and give our attention to something because we won't feel rushed and we'll have enough time. So time management is a really big deal. So this can also further impair other executive functions and time blindness, that is. And it just makes it harder to initiate tasks and transition between different activities. So I will note before moving on to more of the tips and moving on to some of the research, which I'm going to pull up here and share some of this with you. I'm going to read directly from the study. But it's important to note, I always like to bring this up, that time blindness is just one aspect of ADHD and it varies in severity amongst individuals, okay? So if you have ADHD and you're listening to this and this isn't something you struggle with too much, but you know you struggle in different areas, just know that there's ADHD is so complex and so layered and also exists on a spectrum that not everything I discuss in terms of ADHD is going to necessarily apply to you or apply as much to you. And some of it you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is important for me to listen to because I need to learn more about this. I really struggle with this. So just know that. So I'm going to move on to some of the tips and tricks. At least I hope some of these will resonate with you. At least if you haven't tried some of these, I would say if you're struggling with time blindness and time management, give one or two of these a shot or keep trying these things to see what sticks and what works. And I might say a couple things that surprise you in a minute. So, the other thing I want to mention too is if this is something you're struggling with, reach out. You know, if this is a significant struggle, I should say, and it's really debilitating and starting to, or very much is already affecting your work or your student, and this is significantly impairing your academic abilities, please consider reaching out to an ADHD coach. I coach folks through my work, which I never mention where I work. So, but I do work in a practice and I'm a therapist and I also coach folks with ADHD. I don't take on clients on the side, so I'm not offering that service right now. I'm just saying we exist, we're out there, and a lot of us also have ADHD. So we have tried a million and one things firsthand and can kind of tell you our own experiences of things. But ADHD, helping folks with ADHD is much more like coaching than it is therapy. But of course, getting that help for ADHD in the coaching capacity could be very therapeutic, right? As I've mentioned in prior episodes, the ADHD, certainly we see sometimes with depression and anxiety, and it's kind of a chicken and egg situation, but a lot of folks with ADHD report that they experience depressive symptoms or anxious symptoms, anxiety symptoms because of their executive dysfunction. So different topic for a different time. Again, I'll talk more about that in the future. Actually, it's a great idea to talk about some comorbidities, but I have discussed it in prior episodes too. So feel free to go back in the archives on Spotify and find all the episodes on ADHD because there's several. So effective time management skills can obviously greatly benefit anyone, not even just folks with ADHD, but anybody. This can help folks with ADHD in particular overcome time blindness and at least improve productivity by using these skills, even if time blindness is something that you still struggle with from time to time. These are some workarounds to help you navigate that particular issue. So a lot of folks with ADHD are very visual people. Not everybody, but a lot of us are very visual, or we require the addition of visual aid to any sort of audio component, or maybe we're reading something, reading text, but having a video component is really important, which is really the main reason why I started this YouTube channel, not necessarily because people asked for it, because frankly, this is a very time consuming and something I have to put a lot of effort into is having this YouTube facet of the podcast. But just knowing how important it is for so much of my audience has ADHD because I talk about it so much. I know how important this is for you all to just be able to see, it sounds weird, but to be able to see a mouth moving and hear the words coming out of my mouth at the same time. I know that that's very important. You can always enable the closed caption on the YouTube videos as well, if that helps you as well. So the use of visual aids. So utilizing visual tools such as calendars, planners, and digital reminders to create a visual representation of time can be very helpful. So this can help individuals with ADHD better grasp a concept of time. Right, the concept of time. We've talked about time perception, conceptualizing time. This can also help you plan your schedules and remember important deadlines and important appointments. I don't know a single person with ADHD that doesn't have some sort of reminders, alerts, alarms, and a digital calendar. So this actually brings me to something else I want to bring up here. And I always use research to back up what I'm saying, of course. But I want to pull up something, and I am going to figure out, or at least find the time to figure out, ironically enough, to show you all the studies that I'm pulling from so that you can read them with me as I'm going through them. But I don't have that all set for this episode, so. So sorry in advance, or not in advance as you're watching this. I apologize. This is what I wanted to bring up. So recently I had a couple people tell me, folks with ADHD that I coach at work, tell me that paper planners do not work for them. At the same time, I recently discovered that paper planners do not work very well for me too. And that is surprising. This is the thing I was mentioning earlier that might be surprising. Surprising to me because a lot of folks with ADHD do really well memorizing things when they write them down. So my thought for years is write it down in a planner. Write down everything you can possibly think of that you need to remember in a paper planner, and you'll remember it because the writing of it will cement it in your memory more. Sure, absolutely. When I'm taking notes and studying, or I should say when I'm studying, I have to write down my notes. I can't type them. I can't not take any at all. I have to write them down. That helps me remember. I write, I highlight, all different things, visual aids, and writing them down helps to cement it in my memory. However, how easy is it for you to write in a paper planner, just put it somewhere and not look at it? Or put it somewhere and forget where you put it? Pretty easy. Digital calendars, however, are, hey, let's face it, we are all on our phones. We all have laptops or some sort of desktop computer, or I shouldn't say everybody, but the majority of people, I would venture to say, have some sort of phone or computer. And if you have Google, you can use Google Calendars. Microsoft has Outlook, and I'm sure there's others out there. There's a lot of apps. If using something a little bit more robust is your thing, I don't have any recommendations for that, but I just use Google Calendar. Just attach my Gmail. It's not fancy or frilly, and I can do as much or as little to it as I want. I color code, and that's also where I could put reminders in. So I can set those alarms that will let me know when I have an hour to prepare for something. So I think that's what makes the digital calendar schedule system a little more friendly for some folks with ADHD. So I would say if this is something that you're not sure like which one works better for you, but you know you need to do something, or if you're using a paper planner and it's not really working for you, try to use a digital one. Use the reminders, the sound reminders, I should say, and color code things, right? Do all the different visual things. But try one of them, or try both of them, I should say, and see what works better for you. Breaking tasks into smaller steps. For the teachers out there who are listening, this is chunking. So chunking is really helpful for folks with ADHD. It helps us to not get so overwhelmed. So breaking things down and bigger things into smaller steps makes it more manageable. Setting clear goals and priorities. My gosh, I think in one of the first episodes of the podcast, I talked about how, we'll say, I don't want to use negative language, how much room I have to grow with goal setting. Not something that I've ever really been great at, but there's still time. But clearly defining your goals and identifying the most important tasks that need to be accomplished. This is a struggle for folks with ADHD, but doing so, prioritizing the tasks based on their importance and urgency can help you to maintain focus and can also ensure that the essential tasks are completed on time, right? So more things, we have the use of timers and reminders, like I mentioned earlier, creating routines and schedules. So establishing consistent routines and schedules can be highly beneficial for folks with ADHD. Minimizing distractions, of course, right? Set your environment. Set the stage for what you're doing. Very, very important for folks with ADHD. Productivity techniques. I highly recommend using the Pomodoro app. I will put it in the show notes. So check the show notes on either if you're listening to this on Spotify or watching this on YouTube. I will put it in the show notes. I use, I think this one, there's a few out there. But I use Pomodoro.app/timer, I think. It's Pomodoro.app. It's a desktop app. You do not have to download it on your phone or anything like that. It's just a desktop app. You type it right into, that's the URL, is Pomodoro.app. P-O-M-O-D-O-R. It's an Italian word. So just so you know. And I do not speak Italian, but I know that it's an Italian word. It actually comes from the Pomodoro technique. So it's based on the principle of working in focused bursts with short breaks. And you actually, in this app, you can check like stats and see just how long you were actively working on a particular project or whatever it is that you're working on, which can be helpful for planning ahead. So that's actually one of my favorite features of that app. Again, check the show notes. I will post the link to that app. And again, seeking support in the form of an ADHD coach can be really helpful. And then making sure you're just taking care of yourself, okay? Get good sleep, exercise, do mental training and visualization. I've talked about that in prior episodes. I will be talking about that more in a future episode in this season. Mental training, visualization, focus meditations. I have a focus meditation in season one of the Mind Body Heather podcast on Spotify. I have a focus meditation. It is actually, believe it or not, one of my most listened to episodes. So I know y'all need it. So go back and find that in season one on Spotify. Again, you don't need the visual component to it. I will guide you through that so that you can do that yourself. It is an eyes open meditation, so it's very, very unique. People have let me know that they've found it very useful, so I am glad. I aim to please. I did want to give you a little bit of the neuroscience behind this before we close today's episode. So I'm going to come over to this. This is an NIH-funded research study. And this is by Weisenberger et al. I'll say that out loud. I'm only used to typing in my papers. Again, I will post this link to this study in the show notes as well. So this was published in July of 2021, so a couple years ago. And this talks about time, or the title of the study, I should say, is Time Perception is a Focal Symptom of Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder in Adults. All right, so I am reading off of this. If you're watching the YouTube, you're seeing me look down and read off of this. And I always have a guide of sorts anyways, because, well, I wouldn't be a very good person with ADHD if I didn't have something to keep me focused or on task, right? So just a little bit about this study that I think could be a little bit of interesting neuroscience. Perhaps I should have started the episode with this rather than finish with it, but whatever. At least you're going to have the information and you can learn a little bit about that if that is a component of this these episodes that you enjoy, is when I give you that hard neuroscience, the hard science behind the soft science, I guess, or the gray science, as people so lovingly refer to as psychology, or lovingly refer to psychology as a gray science, I should say. Sentences are hard. So ADHD is classically associated with symptoms that include inattentiveness, hyperactivity, and impulsivity, together with a variety of other observable externalized symptoms, right? That's how this study starts off. Again, I'm pulling this directly from the research, so I will post the link in the show notes. So these are not my words. ADHD has also been associated with specific internalized cognitive symptoms, including restlessness and emotional impulsivity. Some of you are nodding your heads right now. But this disorder has been recognized as a lifelong condition and can be recognized by a variety of unique cognitive phenomena. So in addition to the frequently ignored affective symptoms exhibited by individuals diagnosed with ADHD, problems with time perception have been noted, although these are considered to be secondary issues as of this study in 2021. Certainly not secondary in the sense where they're not important, but in terms of the, I would say this, maybe they're referring to the rankings of, the rankings of the symptom affect. I'm not entirely sure, but they consider them secondary issues as far as the study goes. So this is where the neuroscience comes in, right? Temporal shifts in cognitive processing, right? So think about your temporal lobe. Temporal shifts in cognitive processing, however, may be at the very root of ADHD-related symptoms, given the importance of coordinated signal translation in the construction of behavior. So they continue to talk about what they're going to, this is actually a review, a literature review, I should say, as opposed to an actual independent study. Some of the differences include the feeling of time moving faster, which is interesting. I mentioned a little bit about the time pacing before. This causes difficulties in perspective time tasks and inaccuracies in estimation of tasks. In the study, if you're going to click on the link and are choosing to dive in here, they do analyze the literature from both neurological and psychological perspectives, which includes assessments and all these different things that they use to administer via computer, measure time perception. So I thought that particular sentence where they talk about the temporal shifts in cognitive processing was really cool and really interesting. If you do like more of that neuroscience type of information, so dive into this. It's really, really interesting deep dive lit review, and fairly recent, just a couple years ago. So I will post this in the show notes for you all. And folks, that's all I have for you for today. I could go on forever, but we are over 30 minutes. I try to keep the podcast episodes right around the 30-minute mark, at least for right now. These are not ad-supported episodes, so it's kind of all the time I have to give you. So, because as of this moment, it is 5:59 p.m. on a Sunday night. And right now I'm considering how many more things I could fit into today. Kind of want to go for a run outside because it's really nice out here. Good temperature, not overly sunny. It's just like partly cloudy. And have laundry to fold and would like to get a couple more things done for school. So in my mind, I have enough time for this, but I most certainly could be overestimating my capacity for the rest of the day. We'll see. Check on my Instagram. By the time this is out, the story will be gone, but perhaps you have seen it already. I'll let you know if this worked out or not, how that went. So a little self-experiment in time blindness and time management for my own ADHD brain. So folks, as always, if you have any questions about the content information that I share in this podcast, the show, I should say, as well, I gotta remember to call it a show now, send me a DM at mind.body.heather on Instagram. I do have a TikTok. I don't really use it. I certainly don't look at anything on TikTok. I do have a Twitter, but I pretty much just post there, just post information so I can share it on Instagram a little bit more easily, to be totally honest with you. But Instagram is the best way to communicate with me. So feel free to reach out, send me a DM. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. One more thing to know. I'm thinking I might do a Q&A episode next week. I mentioned last week on the podcast that I was going to do that. So you know what? I should probably uphold my, not necessarily a promise, but what I did suggest as something I might do. So, yeah, we'll do that. At mind.body.heather on Instagram, I will post a little Q&A box. So you can let me know what topics you want me to cover. Typically, I cover several topics in an episode. If I get one really juicy topic that prompts me to want to record more, sorry, I'm not speaking closely to the mic. I'm getting really animated as I normally am, and I have to remember that I'm also recording a podcast, audio only. So sometimes I will take that, I'll extract that topic from the Q&A episode, and I will make it its own topic. So if you don't hear your answer, your question being answered, just know that either there was too many, and I'll try to get to it in the next one, or I'm going to use that because it's so good. I'm going to use that for an entire episode. So sometimes y'all help me decide what topics to talk about. And I love that because I want to talk about what you want to learn. That's the whole point. I want to talk about what you want to learn. This show is for all of you. And I just so happen to enjoy doing it. So it's a win-win situation here. All right, folks, that's all we have for today. This is the Mind Body Heather Show. My name is Heather Antonovica, and thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, rate, like, ring the bell, leave a review, and share with your friends so that I can continue to share free mental health information with as many people as possible. Thanks so much, and take good care.